Everyone faces challenges, but it's how we deal with them that really matters. I'm Camille Bauer, and I'm going to help you see that life can go from bad to worse. But if you have faith and trust in the Lord and put on your big girl pants, then those hard times will help strengthen your faith, refine your character, and make you who you were destined to be. Last month, we talked about finding your purpose and how important it is to love ourselves and be our fan club presidents. The thoughts we tell ourselves become our future reality. This week, we're going to be talking about four things you can do to improve your relationships. Have you seen the movie Shallow Hal? It has Jack Black, Gwyneth Paltrow. It is one of our favorites. And Tony Robbins is what he is. He plays himself in there, which is a relationship and life coach. He's incredible and amazing. I love Tony Robbins. Do you like Tony Robbins? Well, a quote that I heard him say recently was, "The quality of your life is the quality of your relationships." And it really struck a chord with me. And I've just sat there and thought about it and pondered over it and wrote it down and marinated with it and realized that that is so true. Us as humans, we want to be able to connect and have good relationships and in turn this symbiotic magic where we give and we get. But what if you're not giving or you're not getting, okay? Four things. Number one, look inward. It is so hard to do when you are easily seeing people's flaws, right? And where they need to be better. But what we need to do is look inward and think of how we can improve and how we can become the best versions of ourselves. Because when we do that, when we focus on ourselves and humbling ourselves and becoming the best version for our partner or for our children or for our friends, then inevitably it will follow that we will feel better. Even if our relationship doesn't get better, we will feel better. If you're stuck and it's hard for you to look inward and it's hard for you to have the tools necessary because you don't have them, that's okay. Give yourself grace. If you don't know how to do that, if you need help, there are so many great, amazing therapists. Right now, they're doing Zoom. You can stay at your own house and be able to get that help you need, those tools. Get those tools in your toolkit to be able to help you focus on being the best version of yourself. In therapy, I am so not ashamed to admit I have done therapy. I have lots of therapy. My kids have done therapy, having been a widow. And also in a bad relationship, I did partners therapy there. Therapy, I'm a huge advocate for. It is so good. So if you're having a hard time doing number one, which is looking inward, owning your part, owning your actions, and becoming the best version of yourself, then hit up a great therapist. Ask some friends who around that they love and recommend. Do your research and get those tools you need. If you already have those tools and you are in a situation where you really want to easily point out the other person's flaws, look inward and realize, I love the parable of Christ where he's like, why are you looking at the sliver over on your neighbor when you have a whole 2x4 in your own eye? Like, why are you looking at the mote over there when this huge beam is in your eye? Like, there's so many things that we need to work on that we can improve on and be better at. And criticizing others is not the way to get someone to love you, is not the way to get someone to change. Think about it. With children, with spouses, partners, anybody. When you're criticized, you don't want to do what the other person's telling you to do. So don't criticize others. And in turn, you don't want to be criticized. And if you are, seek out that help where you can get in front of a professional and they can work through that with you. So look inward. Don't criticize. Number two, show love. And this is really hard, especially as parents, right? When our children are acting out and doing things that we don't want them to do, to show love. It is our duty as parents, right? That we teach and help them understand concepts of relationships and how they navigate that and work through it. But when we're adults, that's when it gets challenging, right? That's when it gets hard. And as I've been marinating and over my life, and as I've gone through challenging things, I've realized too that that adage of what you hear, people are not their behaviors, is so true. Think about that. People are not their behaviors. So if someone's behaving badly, they're not a bad person. Something's wrong in there, right? Something in their past, something that plays in the back of their mind. Something's off and something's wrong. And that for me has really generated compassion. When I remember that, like people, it's so easy to want to label people, right? Like, oh, they're that kind of person. They're this kind of person. But when we realize, especially us of all people, we're not perfect. And those things that we do, we make mistakes. It's inevitable. So if we can just assume that people are trying their best with what they know how, with the tools that they have in their toolkit, people are honestly trying their best, and realize people are not their behaviors. So number two, show love. And dig in deep when someone is mean and hurtful. It's hard. It is so hard. I have been in that situation. And at first, like I'm a feisty person by nature. Like, you don't mess with me. Like, I was the baby of seven and six, but we count my cousin brother. I call him my cousin brother. So seven, but I was the baby and I was picked on and I had to be feisty. And it's just stuck with me. And I was in a bad relationship. And man, at first, when I was treated poorly, I got defensive. And being constantly criticized is exhausting and hard. And it really made me a version of myself that I'm not proud of. I could see myself getting not the version of me that I wanted to be, responding back unkindly and saying rude things in return. And what helped me? Well, what helped me was number three that I want to share with you is your relationship with God. If you are in a certain relationship that is not working out for you, whether it be a child that is, you know, a teenager and realizes they know everything now, and or a strained relationship with your parents or your siblings, or a really good friend, and you need help and you've exhausted all of your resources, God has unlimited resources, y'all. Like, He will help you every time. He will show up for you. He will be there. He will be that person in your corner every day if you want Him. Now, number three, again, your relationship with God will make all the difference. It has for me in my life. Back when I was not in a good place, in a good space, and working through therapy and just really trying hard to own my part and be the best version of myself, I started working at a temple. And if you're not familiar with what a temple is, it's like a holy place in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. So just similar to temples around that you see in different deities, this was a temple. And I started volunteering there once a week. And as I started volunteering there once a week, you know, I would just go and just pray for strength, for comfort, for peace. And you would think, you know, I grin here and smile because you would think, you know, turning to God, that things would go your way and get better. But so many times in my life, I have learned, like, people don't always get better from being sick. And relationships don't always get better even though you're trying your hardest. And I learned from that year that I worked at that at the temple that God is there for you. He will help help you even when it goes from extremely hard to even harder. And if things don't turn out the way you want them, He will be there for you no matter what, giving you the strength, giving you the peace. For me, He really softened my heart and I wasn't feisty anymore. You know, not that it took away from who I was, but I owned my emotions and I was able to be kind and not have a quick tongue. Does that make sense? And I was able to have composure and above all, be kind. And that is not in my nature when I'm picked on or criticized or treated poorly. And for me, it was so strengthening to know that I don't have to fight back because God fights your battles for you. And my relationship with God grew so much deeper and my appreciation for Him became so full because I was so grateful that I knew I could see that change in your heart. You know, when you read the Bible, when you read God's words and you hear, you know, Him say, come to me and I'll make of you a new heart. That's, I can look back and see like He's completely been in my life and helped change my heart. And we were doing a church yesterday, like at home church right now. And we were talking about how the Spirit speaks to us in Revelation and things like that. And how do we know God is there? And, you know, I just had this aha that I shared with everybody that it's like, if you've had a change of heart, if you used to be one way and now you're another way, that is God that has worked in your life. And I could see He's worked in my life. And I'm so grateful for that. Don't be ashamed if you've had relationships that haven't worked out. That's okay. Nobody's perfect. You cannot expect to do work and have be the only one working. Or if you're trying and you think you're giving your best and someone thinks you're not, that's hard. And you can communicate. You can go to therapy. For me, divorce was one of the biggest blessings of my life. And I know that sounds really, I don't know, probably socially backwards from what you would think. It's not in the kids' best interest. It's so hard. But for me, a divorce, I was a widow previously and then remarried. And that divorce for me after 3 years was one of the best things that has ever happened to me in my life. So, you know, it's okay if you have what people would deem as before. Like for me, I was so judgmental when I heard of divorce before. I would think like, oh, they just didn't try hard enough. Like how imperfect they must have been. And especially for me, going from a really healthy, amazing marriage for 13 years to my late spouse. And then coming from the background of a divorce, I was so naive. I was so naive to think like, oh, only people who don't work hard get divorced. Like that's so the opposite of how it really is. And my, just like anything throughout my life, I have been humbled and I have learned through mistakes, through bad experiences, that we can become better, we can become stronger, and we can learn what we do want and what we don't want and how we need to improve. And for me, I am so grateful for the opportunity to have gone through that, because now I look at divorce, I will never look at divorce again the same. Like, I have so much love and compassion for anybody who has to go through a divorce and a hard relationship, because it's hard. And I had no clue. And I was even, I would say, arrogant in my first marriage. Like, oh yeah, I've got this. It's I'm a pro at relationships, you know. And then going into a different one, it was hard. And that leads me to my number four, which is say no to unhealthy relationships. Whether, you know, it be your mother or, you know, I have several friends that have had a mother that's been toxic in their life and they've had to sever that tie. So whether it's a mother or a sister or a really good friend, I have gone through that as well. I have had, surprisingly, throughout my life, several really close friends to me, and one in the last several years that there's no way I would have ever thought they would have betrayed me or done hurtful, mean things. And it's very hard. And then after that, you know, I thought, give it a couple months to go away, you know, give some space and distance from it. And I would expect and would hope that that friend would come back and apologize. And sure enough, that happened. And then I almost got this like scared feeling like, oh no, what if they want to resume a friendship? And now, you know, I'm in a great, healthy, amazing relationship with an incredible man. And as I was communicating with him, which is a great number one thing in a relationship, you want to be able to safely share your feelings. And I was just telling him, you know, like, I'm so grateful that that friend of mine reached out and apologized, but I really don't want to continue where we left off. It's impossible. When somebody has done something to the gravity and the magnitude that that friend did to me, it would be impossible for me to want to continue that with a basis of trust. And that's okay. And I had to, when communicating and sharing my feelings with him, you know, I came to that peace in my heart that's like, I don't have to be that person's friend again. I can wish them the best. I can pray for them to move forward with a beautiful life, but I don't have to put myself in an unhealthy relationship or something that was potentially unhealthy for me or that potentially could be unhealthy in the future. Just that level of uncertainty, you don't need to live with that. Like, you've heard that old one over and over again, don't play with a snake if you know it's gonna bite. And if you do, then it's, you know, shame on you because you knew already what it was. You know, like that little story that I did in one of my podcasts, you know, where this boy rescues this rattlesnake and then it bit it. And it's like, you knew what I was when you picked me up. So if someone has shown you their true colors and how they treat you, but then come to make amends to you, that's great. And you can forgive them, but that doesn't mean you have to invite them back into your life at a level that you're uncomfortable with. And I think this takes some of number three, you know, listening to God and having him be included in your life. And he knows how you feel. Like, he knows that friend did that to you. He knows how that person belittles you. Like, he knows that it's hard for you and he cares. So go to him, pour your heart out to him. Read the Bible, listen to good words, talk to good friends, and help navigate through your heart. God will be there step by step for you. And he has been for me. So you don't need to be around people that pull you down, because there's so many other people waiting for good people like you to be in their life. God is in the details. And I'm so grateful for me having I'm going to have to look it up. I can't remember the scripture, but I was reading the scripture and it's like, in the light, you can see the light. And I'll look it up. I promise. I'll bring it to you next week, the exact verbiage. But it just struck a chord in my heart, because if you continue to keep choosing Christ, to keep trying hard, whatever deity, whatever you believe in, that you are good, you are here for a reason. If you keep pressing forward with faith and that belief and that hope, soon you'll feel the light and you'll see it. And for me, I can look back in my life and I can see that God was there for me so many times. And I can see the light in the darkness and depths of the hardest times in my life. So my prayer to you is reach out to God and have that faith and that belief and that hope that you're good enough and you deserve love and healthy relationships. And if others can't give you that, it's, even if it's your own children, still give it. Still give it. And in Joshua 1:9, I love, and it says, "Have not I commanded thee?" Actually, let me, before I tell you that, this is on my fridge, so my kids see it every day. But God says in Joshua 1:9, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." God is there for you, even in the hardest of your relationships and the most challenging. Give love. Choose kindness. You will never regret it. Mother Teresa said it so beautifully. She said, quote, "When you know how much God is in love with you, then you can only live your life radiating that love. And then in turn, you'll want to continue to give that love to others. Even when you want to be feisty right on back, you know, be meek. Like the Savior said, it is not weakness. When someone berates you and yells at you or criticizes you or puts you down, it is a sign of strength to hold your tongue and not respond back. And even at that, still fold their laundry. And then work through being the best version of you and giving it your all. And at the end of the day, you'll be able to lay your head on your pillow and know, I've been kind. And kind words echoing in your heart will never leave regret. To those ones that are feisty and mean and deserving that you spit back in bitterness, those can leave regret. And most of the times they do. So choose love, choose kindness, and choose to reflect the light that is in you, because you are incredible and amazing, and you are one of one. Be healthy in your relationships, including yourself. Give yourself love. Realize God loves you, and you will have the power to have love and kindness in all your relationships, even if they're hard. So remember those four things, my four tips, and you will have healthy, beautiful, loving relationships. Even when it's challenging and hard, you will be able to get through that and God will help you. And don't forget, no matter what, put on your big girl pants. I know it's hard and I know sometimes you want to give up, but don't do it. Keep going. I believe in you. God believes in you. Believe in yourself. And I'll be talking to you next week. We're going to be on a three-part series of 9 things you need to give up if you want to be happy. So stay tuned for next week's 3 things you need to give up.